So this is Philosophical Coffee. This is a podcast. I've actually been running this on YouTube for quite a while. Except on YouTube, it did not... My YouTube is terrible. It never... I talk too much. Really, that's what it comes down to. I used to do 2 hour videos, 1.5 hour videos, because I was using it for a whiteboard in my science. Like, I'd be sitting down and it's there. You can go see it. And this is where early on with integration science, living as both science subject number 2, while also living as the scientist of integration sciences and trying to toggle between the two. This right here was a challenge because I wanted to record my mood, my thoughts, my feelings. It was very naked. It was very raw. And one of the rules that I had going into this, because it's science data, was for the science, it had to be real. It could not be watered down. I could not hide anything. It all had to get out there because every component of a human had to be explored and dissected. And this is where it got extraordinary because I didn't know it then, but I had started the dialectical dialogues and I may have unknowingly made a comment about everyone really needs to do this. And I may or may not have said that with my Magian, and it may or may not have launched a massive global healing of everyone doing it, which is really awesome. So everyone right now who is spiritual may or may not actually be doing my dialectical dialogues. Really, really cool side effect of Magian, but okay. So I'm like, everyone needs to do this for healing. This is like vital to healing. And now everyone's doing it. So there's a whole lot of spiritualist videos. There's a whole lot of authors doing it. Everyone's doing it. It's dialectical dialogues. It's really cool. And now everyone's doing dialectical dialogues, which means we have a whole lot of data now. That's most important. So I'm like, well, now I've got like only, 1 million people to choose from. So I can sit down and do analysis. This is great. I got all this data. This is fantastic. So what's great is my work came out in 2015. So I've got a control group. Really, really, really important now. And I was using the Ashwagandha scientific method to track all of my information. We got a control group. So when I put Philosophical Coffee out there, it was very, very philosophical, scientific minded, A. And then I had my meltdown over in subconscious dialogues. Then I went over and did some really cool lab QED stuff. And then I would get into this emotional rage of this podcast is not a conspiracy, which I'm still going to be doing something with because that is way too good of a title to not do something with. So this is like my 18th attempt. I feel like one of those directors. Take Philosophical Coffee, take 369. It's one of those. It's one of those. I have tried this so many times. And I loved Philosophical Coffee. I really did. Except it was at a time when I was not succinct. It was at a time when I could not articulate anything into simple. So it took me 2 hours to say what I can now say in 5 minutes. And I stopped. It was amazing because I went through 1,800 videos and I only have 650 followers. I felt really discouraged and unloved, but that's okay. So I got to the end of that era, and it truly was an era where I went, this is, I'm done. I have to go over to writing now. It was another integration pendulum. That's what it was. I was, okay, now the eighth ethic. It's all it was the eighth ethic, the effective communication skill. So I had written, everything was written right up until I got to the eighth ethic. And then I went over and went, nope, gotta do YouTube now. And I just talked. And after I mastered speech, I got off of YouTube and then I switched back over to writing. And I've been in writing ever since. I have really, really struggled getting back into YouTube. Probably will never go back ever again. And one of the things that I noticed that I do a lot is I would have these rotations. By rotations, I mean friendships, where I would have an epiphany and I'd call up people and I'd be like, oh my God, I got to tell you about this. And I'd go on my massively long Uber awesome rant, which is these videos right here. And it was something I don't know what it was then. It's still something on my list. I really want to dissect and analyze the psychology of it. It's fascinating, but you know, it was something that one of my best friends had said to me. She and it phenomenal stuff. Like we both got goosebumps over this, which means that it's right. That was mathematical data to say it was not really. She said to me, you know, I get the feeling like it's chirality. Like you have your person out there who is your chirality. And yes, that is true. That is something that I'm researching right now. All signs point to yes. We're waiting for the data to come in. So that's like pending data right now. That's what we're doing, is pending data. And she was explaining that she says it feels like we all have that chirality partner. Spiritualists call that your twin flame. And your chirality partner is, this is quantum entanglement stuff, where you're speaking it out into the universe so that they can pick up on it and hear it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the Magian backs this up, but it's really, 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 really advanced. And I'm not yet at all ready to, you know, break that down into the mathematical formulas and present it to the world. It's literally still in the lab. But all signs point to yes. I don't want, this is hypothesis. Let's just call this hypothesis right now, okay? It's pending data. This is not science yet, people. So the thing is, I had the same feeling. I had the same intuition paradox, or intuition stage one came in. I entered into intuition stage two with this. I was into intuition stage three. And like I said, I'm right at that point of I'm toggling in intuition stage four, stage five with it. And I'm currently writing out the logical proof for it. And once I have the right logical proof, the math will show up. Integration physics will immediately be activated, and the math will show up. And once the math is correct, then integration physics, the physics will show up. And once that's accurate and precise, well, then the chemistry shows up, then the biology shows up. So then you know it's right. When you can trigger an integration sequence in physics, that is like stamp of approval. Boom, it's real. So, but in order to pull this off, I need philophysiology. I need geometric linguistics, which just came in. So I have to accumulate the mathematical data on that and those disciplines, and then I can transfer that over into this. So like I said, this is like really, this is universe B stuff. This is not science yet, but it's gonna be future science. So we have all of this data in, we have it all coming in. And I told her, I said, this is definitely something that I'm suspecting also. So why do I have these needs and urges and desires to talk into this audio and communicate? And it's this right here. It's literally I have this integration pull, like by my sitting down and taking this into the universe, I am sending it off to my long lost love. He's not lost. He's right here with me. And you know, we've been talking for quite a while. His name is God, but that's out there. And as it goes out there, it like, you know, travels the universe and it finds his corporeal body and it goes into his brain, and it's Magian stuff. It's really cool. So I'm now trying again to do philosophical coffee. And I realized I was not feeling heard. This is where it gets interesting. With like, I kind of don't care if my friends listen to my audios or not. But at the same time, I'm going, you know, there are some people who really want this data. And for those people, I do want to make sure that they get to them, because if it helps you, great. If it entertains you, even better. And if it does neither one of those things, then why are you here? Just saying. So I tried the whole YouTube thing, and I will never again do that. And then I tried again to do, I write. All I do is write. I write and I write and I write. But there's something about audio. There's something about putting it out here in this format via audio, especially, that I just absolutely love. It's like my preferred form of communication aside from writing. But here's the other thing is I'm sitting here when I write. This is interesting because my integration pendulum, it's broken. My pendulum is broken right now. Like when I write in my science, it's like hardcore science. And people will read one word and they're like, oh my God, I feel like I ate 10 bagels. That's really heavy data. You read the word and I felt the Magian. Okay. And then when I'm over in the zone, when I'm writing my Anna's Anals and my Anna log, that's right, I have an Anna log. When I write all this stuff, it's all going in and I'm loving it. But that's when things get really weird. I mean, it's out, you know, and it's a side effect of being in a laboratory. Lab brain is a real thing. You're in a lab for so long and you're thinking about abstract concepts that are so out there, your brain gets twisted. And it's actually not twisted into anything. It's untwisting. It's society that twists the brain into weirdness. When you get into a laboratory, the only thing holding your brain together is nature. Natural, organic, real stuff. So you're in this dissection mode, and the sciences and the maths, they unwarp your brain, and your brain starts to really work the right way. And it's like this fan that just spreads right out, and you've got all this stretching room because you can finally think the way you're supposed to think without society going, oh my God, that's not a societal norm. And you go through lab withdrawal when you come back to society. So when you leave your laboratory and you come back to society, it's culture shock. It is real culture shock because, oh my God, culture. And that's when you really, I pulled out my lab. I pulled out my science for this. And I went, oh, look at this. Common denominators of everything that's not compliant to nature. I call it society. And it's true. Society is filled. Only scientists know this. Only scientists know this because we're in a lab. You're alone with just you and nature. And there's nothing else, you and nature. And you're mapping nature and you're dissecting nature and you're probing nature and you understand, you become nature. And then you leave and you get into society, and society is the most unnatural, bastardized thing in the world. It is not nature compliant. And they've got all these dumb rules. I mean, really stupid rules. I'm not allowed to put a donkey in my bathtub on Sundays. That's not natural. That's a law in New York City. I also am not allowed to wear slippers outside on the street at 10 p.m. Any other time is fine. 10 p.m. It's not natural. This is another law in New York City. I gotta know what the fuck is going on in this city, that those are the laws, man. So I have all this stuff. You get out of the lab and you get into the city. You get into society and you see everything, every little bump that just, it's a nuance. And you go, whoa, that's not natural. And then I tracked them all, of course, and I crunched the data and I went, all right, so I have the mathematical formula of all the ways society is non-compliant to nature. Look at all the way it breaks us. So then I'm one of those nut jobs walking around telling everybody, it's society's fault. Oh, you're one of those persons. They say to me, but I've got the science. And every scientist knows this because you can feel it. Because as soon as you leave the lab, you get poked and prodded with all the ways society is not natural. The ancient Greeks built a natural society. Gorgeous society. I'll tell you, read The Republic by Plato. Beautiful book. But aside from the ancient Greeks, no one is consciously building a natural organic society. The ancient Greeks did. I'm going to talk a lot about those guys because they were geniuses. So I'm back here again doing philosophical coffee, and I love the contrast. There's that word again. I love the contrast that it gives me because I know what I sound like when I'm writing my work. When I'm writing my science, I sound like hardcore science. This stuff is really deep. I'm going to break your brain. And then when you read my really weird world that is Anna Land, people are like, what the fuck? Like, it's like Princess Unicorn Kitty just vomited it all over your stuff. But it's deep. Imagine Princess Unicorn Kitty from Lego Movie, you know, and... You know, my son just came out and told me what her real name is. It was so serious, too. He's like, Mom. And I'm like, yes. Her name is Princess Unikitty. oh, thank you. Thank you. Like, this is really intense data. I needed this. Yes. Thank you. But that was 10 minutes ago. So I don't remember what her name is. So I'm back to calling her Princess Unikitty. Maybe that is her name. The world will never know until you watch the Lego movie or just Google it. So here I am looking like my entire world was just vomited up by Princess Unicorn Kitty, who sounds like Aristotle. That's it. That's the introduction. Hi, I am Aristotle and Princess Unicorn Kitty. I'm an integration scientist. So I've got this world, and I know that it's a lot. And here's the thing is, when people are reading my stuff, I know what they're thinking, because I can hear what they're thinking, because I have that science. And it's like, oh my God, this woman is insane. What the fuck is she trying to say? This woman must be on acid. All of her graphics looks like something that she did when she was on acid. And I'm looking at all of it, and I'm like, this is not capturing me as the truth. And it's not. It's not capturing my true essence of me. So I realized, and this is where I really love this. You know what this is? This philosophical coffee right here, this moment right here. It's when my two extremes can integrate into this wonderful world of me. And I love it. I love it. I've tried writing philosophical coffee. You can look at it. This is over at my Substack. You can take a look at it, where I've tried philosophical coffee and I've written it down. Now, what's great is I'm one of those persons. I'll tell you, the whole organization of my world is that's a whole thing. That's a thing. We're going to talk about that. And when I did it on YouTube, it was hardcore. I saw you. It's like, it was really, and I was like, Ani, you really got to lighten up there. But I couldn't line up because I was in the pendulum swing of one extreme. And it's been something like, I do philosophical coffee. I know I do. I just don't know when. And now here I am. And it's wonderful because it's finally integrating where I get to have both. I get to have that weird science side with Princess Unicorn Kitty. It's all coming together at the same time in the same place. It's like I live in the twilight zone between Rick Sanchez and Gravity Falls Mabel. Like, imagine Mabel breaking open Bill Cipher's world and walking into Rick Sanchez. She grows up and becomes Rick's lover. That is who I am. That's right. There you go. I am Mabel grown up, and I am married to Rick Sanchez. I am Rick Sanchez. I would be more like Rick Sanchez taps into Mabel's energy, grows him up, and then becomes her and says, oh, I'm going to be Mabel now. I could totally do that. So that's my weird. That's, yes. Imagine Rick Sanchez and Mabel from Gravity Falls in one. I can do this. Oh, I'm going to do this. This is me now. I call it Mabel Sanchez. I am Mabel Sanchez. This is it. This is exactly how my life is. So I have all this together. I just realized that Rick's hair is old man gray and not blue. So now I got to deal with that realization. I might be traumatized from that. But I'm sitting here in this philosophical coffee world, and the whole organization, this is the real kick in the pants that you get with dialectical dialogues. Dialectical dialogues is a bitch. And I can't complain because I may or may not have been the one to actually, you know, design it. And it makes sense. And it's really awesome. It's like an accordion. In fact, I remember I have this memory. I love accordions. It's like an accordion. And it's exactly like that. And it's the same science you see in slugs. I love slugs. I would sit there as a kid and watch slugs. And this is how it worked. The slug is fat and short. And then the slug stretches out and expands its little body all over the ground. Sometimes my foot. And then it would like it right back up again into a fat little thing. And then it would stretch. And when it stretched, I noticed that like an accordion, it would fan out like the Fibonacci sequence. And then it would like slick back up again. And I remember I was watching this when I was like five, and I was watching Hans Christian Andersen, the musical, and he was singing inchworm, measuring the marigolds. And I watched the same science of this little inchworm, except there was no schlooping. It was just like, yeah, it was fascinating science. So now I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at how everything is, and it's a branch. So it starts off, you're on Plato's point. That's one. It's all integrated into the one Plato's point. We all start at Plato's point. And then Fibonacci sequence, one becomes two, two becomes four, four becomes eight, eight becomes 16, 16, 32, so on and so forth. But then there is a point of most integration. That is when you are finally dissolved to the greatest point of dissolution and you have to start reintegration. Now, that entire process from Plato's point to the point of most integration is deconstruction. That is how you deconstruct. That is reverse in reverse engineering. That's it. So after you reach the point of most disintegration, then it starts to, it's like Bilbo when he says, I feel like butter stretched over too much bread. It's that. And then you start reintegrating. You start pulling yourself back together again. You start reconstruction. So as you start reconstruction, and this is the one thing that really frustrated me is I did not know that I was at this point until it was too late and I did not get any of the data I needed from that point. I was so upset. I wish I had collected all of the components at the time, but it was happening so fast I could not possibly, this is coming. When we're doing our case studies, when we're doing our clinical trials, we're gonna be like tracking this. I wanna know exactly every component they've got. Track the components. How many components? I have some hypothesis, but we'll talk about that later. So it starts the reintegration process. And for an example, you get 24, it starts with 24, and then it goes down to 12, and then it goes down to 6, and then it goes down to 3, and then it goes into 1. That was an example. It's not the actual math. Now, I've done this so many times that when I got down to the last three generations of reintegration, I knew where I was. I would get there and I'm like, oh my God, I have dun, 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 9 components, which means I'm going to then have 3 components, which means I'm then going to have 2 components, which is going to be 1 component. And I know this. Again, that was an example. And this has happened multiple times now, where every time I hit 3 degrees away from integration on 1, I know I'm close to integrating on 1 back to Plato's point. So when you are organizing it, when I first did this on my YouTube channel, it started off with 1 YouTube channel, and then it became 2 YouTube channels, or 2 podcasts. And then it went to 4 podcasts. Then I was doing 8 podcasts. I went, oh, shit. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here. This is prior to this. I also wrote a book. And then I rewrote the book. And it got better. And then I rewrote the book. And every time I wrote it, I felt like I was just doing another logical nest inside of it. That's when you notice, oh, this is dialectical dialogues. And you always level up. So you always have to go back, do better. And you always have to simplify. It's the simplification process. This is dialectical dialogues. So I was a pro when it came to my Substack. I knew it was going to get worse. I knew it was going to get bigger. So I started off with 1 newsletter. Oh, no. We got to do 2 newsletters. No, now we got to do 4 newsletters. By the time I was done, I was up to like 12 newsletters. And every one of them was recording a chapter and a new stage of disintegration in my life. And I went, oh, my God, I cannot wait until this starts to disintegrate back into like, or to reintegrate back into 1 again. And it was so infuriating. I'm like, please condense this back down. So it finally happened. I got it down to 2 newsletters. I was so happy. I was like, oh, thank God. It's been a long time. I have not had just 1 newsletter in a very long time. So now I'm down to 2 newsletters, which means 2 posts a day. Very, very excited about this. And then I had this epiphany of, oh, no, I have to launch this new concept. And I had 3. And I went, no. Yesterday I went through, deleted, didn't delete them, but I rescheduled them so that it's going to be in compliance to I have 2. And which means, my poor readers, I suddenly stopped one of my stories and I'm like, yeah, this is going to continue in the middle of August or middle of October, guys. Sorry. And now I'm sitting here doing philosophical coffee. So I've got this really weird ass extreme thing happening with science subject number 2. Welcome to Mabel Sanchez, the spirit of Princess Unicorn Kitty. With science. Yeah, that's it right there, with science. Integration sciences. And then over on my AnnaImagination.com website, which is where you are listening to this, I'm sitting there with my hardcore science. And everything was pure science when I started this thing. I mean, I have, I think, 36 pages of science research. But there was this one day, and I felt it. I was over in Princess Unicorn Kitty with science, being Mabel Sanchez, when I had this realization And I'm like, wow, no, that is scientifically, that's important. I need to get that over there. But I was not in the science mode at all. So I'm like, okay, this is observation only. This is for analysis. I am dropping this here as science subject number two. This is not science. And I dropped it down. And this is huge. Is I to show people and introduce them to the pre-science standard. This is it right here. Is you have the process of science. You have the prep work of science. What it's going to become. This is a thing. This is a thing. And this is the most beautiful part of the science of all, is when you get to this moment where you realize, oh, this is going to be something big. This is going to be something huge, and you want to be ready for it. And you got people coming into your Substack going, what the hell is going on? This is science. It's science. Okay. But you got the prejudice factor. Worst thing in the world is the prejudice factor. That's when people show up and they immediately assume, dumbasses, and they make their conclusions and no, you're done for. Well, great. Now you think I'm an idiot. No, you're just prejudice. So I do my integration. I get it all condensed. I'm now walking into universe B. Woohoo! And I'm right here again going, a philosophical coffee. So we meet again. Not for the last time, but for the first time again. Here we are again. Philosophical coffee. So now I'm trying the audio thing. And I think this really balances out nicely because I got my voice here. I got my weirdness. And you can hear the weird and the Mabel Sanchez. That's it, just Mabel Sanchez. That's right. Yep. I know what you're thinking. I'm married to Rick Sanchez. That's not at all how the story went. What the story really did was I am Rick Sanchez, who said, you know what I need? I need Mabel inside of me. So it's this with philosophical coffee. I realized I really wanted to do the audio thing, but here's the real catch. I hate technology. I mean, I hate technology. It really hates me. We do not get along. I blame the Magian and the physics, just saying. Like, I had an EMF pulse, an electromagnetic pulse go out of my head once. It went down into my head. And it rippled through the entire room, knocked a woman and myself to the ground. She stood up and went, oh my God, what the hell are you? Yeah, it's the thing I do. I'm sorry. And so one day I will have the equipment and I will have my Neuro hat. My Neuro hat is pending. It's going to be something I put on my head and it's going to measure all my uber awesome brainwaves 24/7 while I sleep everywhere I go. And it's going to be a really cool hat. I want it to kind of look like a shower cap or 1960s shower cap, but with like Doc Brown from Back to the Future things on it. That's what I want it to look like. It'll be my Neuro cap. And it will measure all of the neurons in my brain while I think 24/7. 30 days I will wear this thing and they'll just be reading the data and they'll call me up. Anna, what are you doing right now? I'm thinking. The data is rolling in. What are you thinking? Pizza! Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. So until I actually have the scientific equipment to measure all the weirdness that's happening in my body and all my brain and all my biology, all I can do right now is just record for posterity. For posterity. All I can do is record. All I can do is track the data so that when this really weird stuff happens, it's trackable and it's valid data. But really the integration and being able, there's something about hearing it that when you're reading it and it's just, you got Mabel Sanchez and then you've got some really weird shit over there. And I love this. I love the contrast because you have this really weird thing over there that is Mabel. And then over on the other side, you do have Rick Sanchez. And then here I am in the middle and you get the nice integration of here I am. So you can see it. Now, here's the beautiful part, and this is where I would take the science next, is I would dissect, and I would analyze, okay, where are the parts of the personality of Mabel that is also the personality of Rick Sanchez? Now, here's the catch. Every single one of us begins divided. Every one of us begins. We don't, by the time you realize this, by the time you're claiming, oh, that's my personality, no, You're divided. That's not your personality at all. That is your pendulum swinging that's been stuck. That's your brain seizing. Or your mind, actually. It's your mind seizing. So this concept, and there's nothing more mentally damaging to our brains, to ourselves, when we claim that our mental pendulum swinging is a personality trait. Dumbest thing you can do. Because now you are telling yourself a new program. That extreme black and white that you think is your personality is actually mental illness that you're claiming is a personality. And now you are cherry picking your mental illness and making it your personality. So now your personality is mental illness, which is why it's one of the dumbest things you can do to tell yourself this X thing about you is your personality. No, it's not. You don't have enough science to understand what personality actually is, and you're causing severe damage to yourself because you're ignorant. That's not a shame, it's a fact. If you were educated, then you would know, oh, that's not a personality trait. That is mental illness because my pendulum hasn't swung in 30 years because I have an obstruction of my immune system growing. Big, big problem now. So when you understand things, when you stop being ignorant, when you start adopting education, when you start learning really how the mind is and what personalities really are, you stop using vocabulary that convinces and brainwashes your mind to think something that it's actually not true at all, which leads to and creates even more mental illness. All because you're using the wrong vocabulary. Never claim that you know what a personality is. Don't do it. Never claim that your learning style is X. Never claim that your personality type is X. You don't know what a personality type is. You're not a psychological physicist to know the mathematical grouping of what a personality is. And this right here is what literally jams up and destroys our mind. That communicates to the brain, that's a personality. You need to keep that there and never let it go. That's not a personality type. These things, these mathematical groupings are the category of word we use to label and categorize that allows us to build structure. It's also the program that loads into our subconscious mind that tells us what is permanent and what should change. But learning is forever changing. So if you are not open-minded to change ethically, then you are going to keep your mind seized in a locked position of never moving. And that stops your pendulum from swinging. So this is me once more attempting philosophical coffee. And I love that it's not anywhere but my website. I will never, most likely never load this on any platform until someone comes along and says you should probably load this onto a platform. I can give you X amount more followers and viewers, and that'll be the end of that. And I'll be like, yeah, sure, okay. And then they'll probably tell me that it's going to cost me money, and I'll be like, yeah, that's just sales pitch, go away. And then I'll probably keep it right where it is on my website, so more people will just have to walk their butts over to my website, which is where I want them anyway, which is really convenient also, so I can just say to them, hey, here is this link, and guess what? You're already here. Isn't that convenient? So, yeah, I'm really, I don't know, we're just trying it again. We're going to see how it goes. Open-minded, see? Seeing how it goes, and we'll just go from here. So thank you, and welcome to Philosophical Coffee. Let's see where this leads.